have in our studios Mufti Ilyas, who will answer the questions posed, and Brother Farooq Hussain will host the show. So dear listeners, if you have any question that has to be answered pertaining to Tahara, then please do call in, and the numbers will be given a little later on, inshallah. So without any further ado, I now hand you over to Brother Farooq Hussain. Stay tuned.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. All praises is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cherisher and sustainer of the universe. And may His choicest blessings be upon our master, Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, his companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, and all those who follow him. Welcome to another program of Focus. Today, our focus is on Tahara, cleanliness, purity. My name is Farooq Hussain, and with me today is Mufti Afzal Ilyas. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
There is no doubt that cleanliness and personal hygiene form a major part of bodily health. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something to the effect, purity is half of faith. Cleanliness is part of faith. Cleanliness and personal hygiene are mentioned as part of religious devotion and as part of a natural daily routine. Before offering prayers, a Muslim must purify himself. He must wash his body and cleanse his heart, mind, and soul in preparation for prayer. According to Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Messenger of Allah said, "The key of paradise is prayer, and the key for prayer is being purified." Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu reported that Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as saying, "When a Muslim or a believer washes his face in the cause of wudu, every sin he contemplated with his eyes will come forth from his face along with the water or with the last drop of water. When he washes his hands, every sin they wrought will come forth from his hands with the water or with the last drop of water. When he washes his feet, every sin towards which his feet have walked will come out with the water. When he washes his hands, ablution wipes out physical dirt while prayer wipes out spiritual dirt. In fact, ablution is a preface to spiritual regeneration. Ablution wipes out physical dirt while prayer wipes out spiritual dirt. In fact, ablution is a preface to spiritual regeneration through the performance of prayer. One who is not physically clean will find it difficult to be spiritually clean. Why is this importance on cleanliness? The Quran itself explains. Allah Ta'ala does not intend to create difficulty for you in religious affairs, but He intends to purify you. The object is said to be purification of mind and soul. External purity leads to internal purity, and external impurity leads to internal impurity. This is because mind has got an inseparable connection with body. Mind has got corresponding vibration on the bodily limbs, and the limbs also on the mind. Therefore, cleanliness is a prelude to purification of the soul through prayer. This also goes a great way towards preservation of health. From the Quran Kareem, Surah Baqarah, verse 222, "Surely Allah loves those who turn much to Him and love those who purify themselves." The Quran is the sacred word of Allah Ta'ala, Almighty, and must be treated as such. One must not touch it unless one is in a perfect state of purity. One must have performed wudu, or if needed be, ghusl before handling it. The Quran says, "Only those people touch it who are in a perfect state of purity." One must have purity has four stages. The first stage is the purification of the external organs from increments and filth. The second stage is the purification of the bodily organs from sin and fault. The third stage is the purification of the heart from evil traits. The fourth stage is the purification of the inner self from everything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our focus today is on the first stage of Tahara, that is the outer purification of the body. Listeners are reminded that this is your learning station. We bring you these kinds of programs because we have to educate ourselves. Some may feel that why should you use certain terms? Others may object to certain terms. We ask you please that this is education and we need to see it in that light. Muslims by nature are a modest nation and certain questions one may find uncomfortable to ask. But you need to know the answer. Please do not to hesitate to call in and give us your question. We have a female producer who will take your questions and forward it to us if the question is uncomfortable. If not, our studio lines, if you want to come on air, is 854-6854. Please feel free to call us. Last week in our discussion, we discussed wudu and how wudu had to be performed. I rushed Mufti through the procedure of ghusl. Mufti, if we can take off from ghusl, the practical procedure of ghusl. The phone number for females to phone in and ask questions relating that is uncomfortable that for coming on air is 854-7022 or 854-7023. If we can continue from our discussion on ghusl, because some listeners phoned in and said that I rushed you through ghusl, and if we can do the procedure again.
We will start how to perform ghusl. The following is the sunnat method of making ghusl. Understand first of all that ghusl is not a bath, but ghusl is an Islamic method of bathing. And there are various types of ghusl: farz, wajib, sunnat, mustahab. Firstly, you should wash both the hands as far as the wrist. The hands should not be dipped in the basin of water for washing. That is when you are using a bucket system in order to have a ghusl. However, if you are utilizing a shower, then the method will be slightly different. The method that I am explaining is when you are using the bucket system to obtain purity. In certain areas, in certain homes, this system is still utilized. Water should either run from the tap onto the heads or be poured from a container. Wash the parts of istinja, the private parts and the surrounding areas firstly. This should be washed whether there is najasat, impurity or not. Then thirdly, wash the part of the body wherever there may be any impurity. Wherever there is impurity, whatever nature the impurity is of, you wash that completely off the body. Then make a full wuzu. Now we have explained how you make wuzu. However, if ghusl is been made in a place where the water pools around the feet, then delay the washing of the feet until the end of the ghusl. Number 5, after wuzu, pour water thrice over the head. Thereafter, number 6, pour water thrice over the right shoulder. Then pour water thrice over the left shoulder the water should be poured in such a manner that the entire body is thoroughly soaked or drenched. If the feet were not washed at the time of wuzu, wash them now. While pouring the water, rub well on the body to ensure that no spot of the entire body remains dry. Now, if you are using the shower, then you will follow the normal procedure, meaning that you'll wash the impurity out, wash the private part, and then shower properly. And to fulfill the sunnah method, then stand under the shower, let it go over your entire body thrice, then over your right shoulder thrice, and then over your left shoulder thrice. Then inshallah, we hope that you will also obtain and receive the sawab of a sunnat ghusl. However, when you're utilizing a shower, generally our showers are designed in such a manner that the water immediately flows out. In that case, you do not have to wash the feet at the end, because there is no pooling of water.
Mufti, if I'm going to have a bath, I open the tap, I put my Redox and I lie in the bath and I enjoy a good bath Islamically, how do I conclude that bath to say I have ghusl in order to perform prayer?
If a person lays in the bath and put any chemicals or any form of foam, etc., in the bath and lays in the bath, then that is not a Islamic bath as you have mentioned. After that, he has to come out of that bath and go into the shower and then take an Islamic bath. If he is going to utilize that same bath, then he will have to empty that entire bath. Empty that entire bath, and preferably to clean that bath. Otherwise, stand and use a hand shower and then follow the procedure as explained. Follow that procedure, meaning you will now wash your hands up to the wrist, then you will wash the private parts, and then wash any impurity that is still there, and then make wuzu, followed by pouring water over the entire body from the head thrice, then over the entire body from the right shoulder thrice, then over the entire body from the left thrice, and making sure that this clean water now is being poured and rubbed over the entire body.
I'm trying to see the distinction here. Last week you mentioned, I see the difference, but I'd like you to make it clearer to me, that if I stood in the rain and every spot of my body got wet, the only thing I needed to do was gargle my mouth and insert water into my nose, and then I would have had ghusl. In this case, clearly it is not. What is the difference between that and the scenario of the bath?
The bath, first of all, it is not moving water. And in the condition that you went inside the bath, that same water you are repeatedly using it. Now in the rain, that rain water has been falling on you, it's fresh water, it's clean water. In our terminology, it is pure water and it can make pure. It is pure water and it can make pure. Now the tub water, as soon as, for example, let us say that a person went into the bath of water and he had urine on him, and he was messed with urine and he went into that bath. So as soon as he put his foot into that bath, or he put his body into that water, because of the urine or the blood or the semen on his body, then the entire bath water has become impure. So basically, in that case, in that scenario, he is sitting or sleeping or lying down
in impure water and not reading his book, all in impurity. All in impurity which he should not be doing. We are not against that he sits down in the bath for relaxing, etc. But he should do that in the state of purity. Okay, if you have any questions relating to ghusl, it's 854-6854. It is your learning station, Radio Islam. Mufti, when is it necessary to have a farz bath?
As I have explained, that there are various types of bath. One is that a person has to have a farz bath. There are 10 things that make a ghusl farz, meaning ghusl obligatory. The emission of fluid before semen, emission of fluid before urination, to have a wet dream without emission of semen, if there is no bleeding after childbirth, semen emission without lust. Now this, what I'm talking about, that does not make a ghusl for us. You are asking me about that which makes the ghusl for us.
Yes, I want to know, when is it compulsory and obligatory for you to perform a ghusl?
Okay. And I will also mention these 10 that do not make a ghusl for us, or these actions that do not make a ghusl for us. Since I've started them, let me just complete them. Having a enema, insertion of a finger or any such thing into any of the two private parts, and that which makes the ghusl farz, that the semen was found on the clothing or on the body. Number 2, inserting of the private part into any of the two private parts, the male private part into any of the two private parts. Number 3, after having relationship with, and this is an absolutely abominable action with a person who is not alive, after being in the state of drunkenness or unconsciousness, one discovers and strongly suspects that semen was emitted. Number 5, after haiz, that is monthly discharge of blood by females. Number 6, after nifas, post-child blood discharge. If any of the above were experienced by a non-Muslim, then on accepting Islam, ghusl becomes farz. It is farz to bath when semen comes out of the action of cohabitation, and after monthly periods, and after childbirth, when blood stops. Irrespective of whether the impurity coming out is of a smaller or large quantity, ghusl of the dead, of the mayat, is farz al kifaya. So these are those occasions when farz, when ghusl is farz.
Okay, you mentioned on accepting of Islam. When a person becomes states that I want to become a Muslim, can you relate the when should ghusl be taken?
We should understand this masala about a person wanting to become a Muslim. It is recorded in the books of fiqh that if the imam is going to deliver the Friday khutbah, the Friday sermon, and as he is about to commence to deliver the Friday khutbah, some person comes and says that, "Oh Imam, I would like to become a Muslim." Then it is written in the books of fiqh, jurisprudence, that the Imam should delay the Friday khutbah and make the person a Muslim. And if he does not do that, if he does not do that, then it is highly possible that the Imam has committed an act of kufr, disbelief. Here we understand that the imam does not have to go and tell the person, go have a bath, or go have a ghusl, or go and clean yourself. It is mustahab for a person who is going to accept Islam that he has a bath and come. Yes, you make him a Muslim first, then he will be taught how to now make a Islamic bath. Before accepting Islam, it is obvious that the bath that he has is not an Islamic bath. He may follow the procedure of an Islamic method of bathing, but that is not a ghusl. Because ghusl will mean that a Muslim is doing it. And a non-Muslim, if he is following the Islamic method of bathing, he will have a bath, not a ghusl.
One of the questions that came out from a lady is that it is prevalent among the, especially the elders, the elder ladies of our society, that in their times they used to physically want to make the ghusl of the lady who was becoming a Muslim, that they must give you the ghusl.
No, that is a ritual. That is maybe an ignorant custom. And these are also a lot of ignorant customs that go around, unfortunately. For example, that in some places it is completely immodest and embarrassing and baseless. It's part of ignorant custom and ritual that when the bride comes home after the first night, then the in-laws want to bath her and officially bath her. This is also embarrassing, immodest, immoral, and not supposed to be done. Then, in certain areas, that after the lady gives birth to her first child, then the in-laws want to bath the baby and the lady. Also, that is not becoming, that is not correct, that is immodest, and that is part of ritual, ignorant rituals and customs, which are baseless and which should not be adhered to at any time. We also should know that ghusl is masnoon on four occasions: on the occasion of Jummah, on the two Eids, before entering into Ihram. Ihram is the state when you cross the Mikat and you are going to perform Umrah or Hajj. For the Haji in Arafat after Zawal, it is masnoon that they make ghusl.
Listeners are encouraged to phone. The number is 854-6854 if you have any questions relating to purity, Tahara. And if you don't want to come on air, the number to phone is 854-7022 or 7023. We have a female producer who will take your questions and forward it to us.
Last week I mentioned one masla, I would like to just correct it. I mentioned that a lady in haiz, a lady that means who is experiencing menstruation, or her monthlies or periods, that when she listens to a sijda tilawat, then when she becomes pure, that she has to make that sijda tilawat. However, that is wrong, that is erroneous, and we should correct it, that a lady in haiz, when she listens to sijda tilawat, then there is no obligation or compulsory nature of making that sijda. She does not have to make qaza of it when she is in a state of purity subsequently.
Okay, when a female bleeds, a question came through, when a female bleeds in excess of her normal time, what is the procedure that she should take if she, her normal time is 7 to 10 days and she finds after day 12 she is still bleeding? From the Sharia point of view, what is the ruling?
You must know that the minimum, according to the Hanafi Mazhab, is 3 days and the maximum is 10 days. So, in this case, as mentioned, after 10 days, the 11th day of blood discharge will be classified as istihaza. Istihaza meaning blood discharge due to ill health. Therefore, the laws of Hayz will not apply to the 11th day. He should, after the 10th day, make ghusl, take ghusl, perform her salat as normal, and if it is the month of Ramadan, fast on that 11th day.
Shukran. In a public toilet, this question came through. Urine, usually you find urine drops on the pane. How does one clean this?
If in the public toilet there are urine drops on the pad, first of all, see if the pad is movable.
Probably
not. If it's not movable, then you take the tissues, etc., and clean it. Utilize some water from the basin, clean the place, dry it, and then utilize it.
Second question from the same listener. He has a persistent bleeding nose. What do you do?
The persistent bleeding nose, first of all, go see a doctor. Secondly, this will come under the category if a person is bleeding continuously. Continuously meaning that it is non-stop. Non-stop to such an extent that the person who is bleeding is classified mazur. Mazur meaning incapacitated. As explained, that if a person is bleeding so much that he cannot make wuzu and perform a 4-rakat salat in 4 minutes, then he is classified a mazur, an incapacitated person. Then he must wait for the last time of that particular salat. For example, that he must wait for the last time of asr, meaning 3-4 minutes before the actual time of sunset. Here you must also realize that the azan that is given over Radio Islam or in the masajid, that is generally 3 minutes after sunset. So you must not take the azan time. You must worry about the actual sunset. So just before sunset, the person makes wuzu, 4 minutes before that, and he performs his namaz, and after that, he will wait for the last time before he goes to bed, and then make his wuzu and perform his isha and go to bed.
Our studio number is 854-6854, if you'd like to come live on air. Our other numbers is 854-7022 or 7023. A brother says he passes wind very often, which makes it difficult for him to keep his wudu. Is it necessary to repeat all steps of wudu, or can he just perform the fard of wudu when he performs a fresh wudu?
First of all, again, this person who is passing wind and he is classified incapacitated or not, as I told you, if he's continually performing, if he's passing wind, then he must find out whether he is mazur or not. However, if he is repeatedly making wuzu, then he may perform the farais of wuzu. And if he is not repeatedly making wuzu, then he should perform all the necessary actions, necessary procedures of the entire wuzu.
Another listener phone's question is salah, which was missed during Hayz as well as nifaz,
I'm trying to decipher the handwriting here.
The question could be that or nifaz must be make qaza of it.
Do we have to repeat them as qaza? Please advise, as my daughters and I disagree on this point.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a very easy deen to follow. A deen basically is easy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's shariat is very clear on this point, that the lady in hayz, all her salat, all the salats missed during the hayz or nifas, there is no qaza for it, meaning that she does not have to repeat those salat that she has missed. But if she is experiencing hayz in the month of Ramadan, then for example, if she missed 10, her duration of hayz, menstruation is 10 days, then she will only have to make 10 qaza fast. Now let us see how easy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this deen. Now in those 10 days, she has to perform, let's say, if that was the rule, 10 times 6 salats. Because the witr wajib is that salat, if you miss it in pure condition, then you will have to make qaza of it. So when she becomes pure, then she should have been making 60 salats. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an easy deed. That lady does not have to perform those 60 salat. It is waived, it lapses. Now can you imagine that if a lady experiencing nifas has got 40 days, and in those 40 days she misses 6 salat per day. So that is how many? 240 salats she will have to make qaza of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy that no, there will be no qaza salat for her, upon her, obligated upon her when she is in the state of nifas or hayz. Yes, if she is in the state of nifas and the month of Ramadan comes, then there will be those fast that she missed in the state of hayz and nifas, she'll have to make qaza of.
Shukran for your answer, Mufti. We now move to our news desk. Come back to our second half of Tahara. My name is Farooq Hussain and with me is Mufti Ilyas. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Our studio numbers again is 8546854, and our number to give you a written questions is 8547022 or 7023. Please dial those numbers if you have any questions. The question I asked you before the news had a second part to it, but I'll come back to that second part until I get the wazifa. A brother has phoned in and he wants to know if after having given ghusl to a mayyit, is it necessary to perform ghusl before performing namaz?
I presume he's talking about before performing the salat of janaza. And even if he's talking about before performing the normal farz salah, it is masnoon, mustahab to take ghusl after giving ghusl to the dead. Then a person should take a ghusl himself before performing the salat al janaza or before performing any other salah. However, if a person after giving ghusl to the dead does not take ghusl and performs the salat al janaza, then the salat al janaza for him would be valid, and if he has to go to perform any other salat, then that salat will also be valid. Because
to perform ghusl after giving ghusl to the dead is mustahab, preferable, desired, liked by the Shariat. A brother has a problem of continuously passing wind when reading Quran or performing namaz. Does he perform a fresh wuzu on every occasion? This brother should contact his local adib and explain to him in detail how often he is passing wind. Then the local alim will be able to classify him mazur, incapacitated or not. As I've explained, constant dripping of urine, constant dripping of blood from the nose or from a wound or injury, or constant passing of wuzu, of wind.
The brother did say that he has a sickness.
Now if he had a sickness, then also we have to know whether it is constant and how constant. So the urine, the blood, and the passing of wind, these constant, if they are constant, how constant? If it cannot, person cannot keep his wuzu for 4 minutes, then he'll be classified mazur, incapacitated. Then he will make wuzu and read the Quran. But if he's not classified incapacitated, then he will make wuzu and read as much as possible Quran. And when his wuzu breaks, becomes invalid due to passing of wind or urine drop or blood oozing out, then he must go and make a fresh wuzu.
Another question: if a person has consumed wine or used drugs, then he has a bath externally, meaning he has a bath. He will be parked, but will his ibadah be accepted if internally he is not pure?
First of all, the person who is consuming alcohol, wine, is indulging in a major sin, a heinous sin, and he should make every effort to reform and change and leave this destructive sins, according to some, the mother of all evils, consuming of alcohol and getting into the state of intoxicants, getting into an intoxicated state via intoxicants. This person should consult a reliable alim and confide in him and remove this sin. However, if this person takes a ghusl, then performs salat or any ibadat, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it from him. And he should make, as I stated, sincere tawbah, repentance before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
If he's an habitual drinker, and there's a 40 days that comes to your mind, is this can you clarify the 40 days story, that you, after 40 days only you become pak?
The 40 days, what you are talking about, which is going in your mind, is about consuming of haram food. I think you're also conducting
wine, drugs,
haram food per se, illegal haram food, and this also will be classified wine, alcohol. Yeah, it means that a person's du'as are not accepted. His du'as are not accepted readily. He is a person who is consuming haram, that is consuming alcohol, is consuming illegal or haram substances. Now, in the light of Shariat, his du'as are not readily accepted.
Because his salat is...
his salat is valid. Understand something. One is validity and another is acceptance. And to understand this concept of validity and acceptance, let me give you one small example so this is clarified. If, for example, the council has got 10 plots to give out. So it says, and it addresses the public and says, listen, we have got 10 plots. and 100 people apply for the 10 plots and they fill in the respective forms. So 100 applicants for the 10 plots, their application is valid. But who is going to be accepted? There's only 10. So there's a difference between validity of the form filling and applying for it. And acceptance is different. For example, a normal person, a normal Muslim, he gives zakat, he goes for hajj, he gives charity, he smiles to the Muslims, he is a well-wisher, he helps the needy, the destitute, the orphan, he helps any good cause, he performs his salat, he reads the Quran, he makes zikr, and he reads Durood Sharif. All this are his good actions. These are his good deeds. Whether they are accepted is a different issue. They are valid actions. A person performed his Isha Salat. His Isha will be valid provided he followed the normal procedure, he made his wuzu, he went for Isha, or he performed his Isha. His Isha is valid. Now whether it is accepted, that's a different story.
Allah alone will know.
Sure, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will accept. We hope and we pray and we have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in His infinite mercy, He will accept the good actions of a Muslim.
Shukran. We have a sister who is waiting. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Mufti sahab, I wanted to know if a woman in the state of haze, can they read Ayatul Kursi or du'as, you know, for protection, like when your du'as for sleeping, when you go to bed, you read your four quls, or you read Allah's name for the protection of your children and things like that?
According to some ulama...
Can I listen on the radio?
Yes, thank you for your call.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam.
According to some ulama, that these ayats of protection can be recited, but they should not be recited with the intention of tilawat. Of tilawat, of recitation for obtaining of sawab. But they should be recited with the intention that I am reading a dua. I am reading and I am reciting a dua, then some ulama have said that it is permissible.
Thank you for your question, lady. I hope it answers it. Another lady phoned in. I've had a baby by cesarean section, and since the birth, I only bled for one day. Do I make ghusl and start my salah, or do I have to wait for 40 days to pass?
This also is a misconception amongst many that once a lady gives birth, that she must wait for 40 days. As far as haiz is concerned, the minimum is 3 days and maximum is 10 days. As far as nifas is concerned, that the minimum can be for a few minutes, even a minute or two, and the maximum is 40 days. So there is minimum. In this case, it is a day. It is a day so that the lady in question, after the blood discharge, after delivery has terminated and stopped, she should take ghusl and perform salah or keep fast in the month of Ramadan, and the normal permissible activities are permitted to do. Also, generally, it is stated that when the woman is experiencing nifas, then she should not go out of the home. She is allowed to go out of the house, provided, of course, that she must go in hijab, etc., properly clad, properly dressed. It is permissible for her to go out. In certain areas, we have come to know that they do not even allow the lady who is experiencing haze, or the fast to cook the food also. That also is a ignorant rule based on the dark customs. So we should avoid that. The lady experiencing nifas or haze can cook food, prepare meals for everybody.
Okay, we have another one that came in here, one of the customs. When I look in the mirror, does my wuzu break?
Also about the mirror, there is a superstition that if the mirror breaks, then there'll be 7 years of bad luck in my house or bad luck on me. Now this is also a fallacious superstition, and especially we should run away and shun and stay away from superstition. Now imagine the person who is dealing in glass daily, and he's a person selling glass or mirrors and cutting glass, using glass, etc. So he is steeped in misfortune and calamity and difficulties perpetually, because every day I think he must be breaking one mirror. As a result, he is steeped in misfortune. And by looking into the mirror, no wuzu breaks, no ghusl breaks. These are fairy tales.
Now, where does this fairy tale originate from?
Unfortunately, most of these fairy tales and superstitions are coming from, it must have been in those areas where there was no electricity, it was absolutely dark. So they said, do not cut your nails, the nails will fall into the food. Now for that time and for that place and for that scenario, for that situation and circumstances, it should be valid. But now in this age, when there is so much light and brightness, then you can pay your nails comfortably.
Shukran. Brother?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Mufti Sahab, how are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Mufti Sahab, a couple of short questions.
Inshallah.
One, prior to going for an operation with regard to urine dropping, say now you scheduled for this Saturday, your appointment is for this Saturday coming. In the interim from now till Saturday, what do you do?
You're going for the operation, for example, on Saturday.
Yes.
And at the moment, when you say, what do? The urine is dropping.
Drops, you know. Constant dropping, yeah.
So when you say constant, as I explained, 4 minutes or more, or within 4 minutes, or what?
Not 4 minutes. Say every 2 hours or so.
Then you are not yet classified mazur, you are not yet classified incapacitated.
Yes.
Then inshallah, 2 hours is sufficient. You make wuzu and go into masjid, and inshallah, perform your salat and come away. However, for you, that you should take care, be care cautious, and see that your underwear is not soiled.
Well, for that, Muqtazab. Another question, Muqtazab. If the mother's teaching the child to perform salah, the child is about approximately 8 years old, obviously the mother is in the process of teaching the child how to perform wuzu. Is it necessary, absolutely necessary for the child to have wuzu?
The child is baligh or not baligh?
No, she's only about 7 and a half.
Then what you should try to do, that you must know that at that age, when the child is not baligh, then salat is not obligatory upon the child. Well, that's one, right?
Yeah.
Meaning the child is not mukallaf, not accountable,
yeah.
And not responsible.
Absolutely.
So what we should make an intention that we are teaching, and this is a training procedure for the little child. So then we should go through the proceedings and encourage the child to have wuzu and make the salat.
That is quite correct, what Mufti Sahab is saying. I agree with you. What I'm trying to, my point is, Mufti Sahab, the mother is performing, for example, Maghrib Salat, and the child must follow.
Yes.
In that case, does it apply as well?
obviously the mother is going to be having wuzu.
Yes.
Now if the child just joins in like that,
yes,
then we will say this is training procedure,
right,
but we will encourage the child to make the wuzu. As soon as the child becomes of age and becomes balig, then it becomes for the wuzu to take place.
Mufti Sahab, another question, a quick one. Cutting of nails, I think it's just a must, but can you cut nails at night?
I just answered that before you came on the air.
Yes, yes.
But to repeat, that I stated that perhaps this law was in those areas where there was no lights, and there was darkness, and the lady and the elders of the house stated that do not pare your nails, do not cut your nails, it will fall onto the food. So they said don't cut your nails at night. Now we have got enough light, so it is permissible, and it was originally permissible to cut your nails day or night.
The last question is a short one. I'm speaking on behalf of quite a few people here. In the mornings on Radio Islam, he's doing a fantastic job with regard to educating and teaching us. In the mornings at approximately 10 past 7, plus minus, Yasin is recited by various Qaris, Ufas, and so forth. Can you read Yasin with them? With the, you know, when a woman is in a state of whatever?
No, she should not do that.
She should not.
She should not do that. She should not. I understand what you're saying, that she should do it in her mind, not read it verbally, not recite it. And in the state of haze and nifas, yes, she should not, like so-called physically, verbally recite it. In her mind, okay.
Rakal Mufti Sahab, may Allah Ta'ala grant you barakat in your work.
Jazakallah. To add to that question, you're driving in your car on the way to work, example, and Yasin Sharif is being recited. You are not in wudu. Can you recite it aloud?
Yes. You are driving and you are, for example, in your kitchen and you are in a state of major purity, and you are not in the state of janabat, or you're not in the state of nifas, or not in the state of haze, then you can read the Quran, follow it, and recite alongside or with or behind, in your car or anywhere.
Shukran. The studio number is 854-6854 if you have a question, and if you want to give a written question, it's 854-702-243. One of our earlier questions, which I said I'll come back to, is there any special wazifa to read during the state of haid or at salah time, and what would be the reward?
The wazifa to be recited will be Subhanaka Astaghfirullah Allazi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum wa atubu ilayhi I'll repeat Subhanaka Astaghfirullah Allazi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum wa atubu ilayhi. The person reciting this, generally the ulama have written that for the lady in haze, when it comes to salat time generally, then she should sit down and recite this tasbihat, so that the habit of performing salat does not go away because of this 8 day, 6 day, 10 day break. This habit is maintained, and when she becomes pure, then she is able to continue performing her salat regularly and constantly. And obviously, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the mercy and grace and favors and boons of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
If you have a deep cut or sore and pus or blood flows from there continuously, kindly advises how I should go about my baqi and salah.
Understand about a cut or a wound or an injury, and blood coming out from there or pus coming out from there. Say a person has got a cut or an injury or a wound on the head. Now there is blood. The person can see the blood. But the blood is not flowing out of the wound, or the blood is not flowing out of the injury, or the blood is not flowing out of the cut. Then as long as that blood has not flown out of that cut, wound or injury, the wuzu is intact. But no sooner, for example, the person takes his finger and runs it on the cut, wound or injury, the blood flows, meaning it comes outside the cut mark, it comes outside the injury mark. Then no sooner it comes outside the injury mark or the cut mark, then the wuzu has broken.
What quantity of blood?
Any small quantity of blood coming out of that wound, or small quantity coming out of pus coming out of that wound or injury, as long as it flows out of the wound, as long as it comes out of the wound, it will break the wuzu. Now this person here who wants to perform salah must first of all wash that wound, apply the necessary medication on that wound, and bandage that wound, and perform salah. Now the question arises here, come the next salah, what the person must do. Now if a reliable, pious, righteous doctor says that, listen, I do not want you to open that wound, he bandages it and he says, do not open this wound here, I do not want any water to touch it, and water is going to increase the illness or increase the physical damage of the body and it will take longer to heal, he assesses this, then you can make masa, pass wet fingers over that portion. However, there is one small cut, then the person, he must open that bandage and go through the procedure which I have outlined again before performing wuzu and then re-bandaging it. Generally, people are very negligent about this. You get a small cut and we behave like we have been slashed by a sword.
I have a small cut, like you say. I put a plaster on it. For wuzu to be acceptable, the plaster has to be removed.
Yes, now, as I explained the procedure, what I explained the procedure is that you wash, make wuzu, normal wuzu. You tend to your small cut, apply the oil ointment, put your plaster, now your wuzu is intact. Go and perform your salah, read your Quran.
Shukran. Brother?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. May I speak to Mufti Sahab, please?
She's speaking.
Mufti Sahab, how are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Mufti Sahab, quick two questions from the listeners here in the room.
Ji.
One, if in the masjid the imam's wuzu breaks for whatever reason,
ji,
we the musallis, what do we do? Faraz namaz, I'm talking of now.
And, however, that is why we state that those who stand near the imam, those who are near the muazzin, or those who are near the imam, what happens, what should happen is, in whatever posture the imam is in, he, when his wuzu broke, for whatever reason, then he will stand up, and whilst going out, he will now hold another person's hand, maybe the muazzin or the one who is standing to the right of the muazzin or the left, and lead him onto the musalla. Because the imam, as soon as his wuzu broke, the salat broke automatically.
Yeah.
So what he will do, he will lead someone onto the musalla. Now that person who is led onto the musalla should not be afraid.
because he does not have to, for example, continue with the same surah or the same long surah where the imam has stopped. He will now be the deputy imam and continue and complete the salat from that point onwards. For example, can I give you an example?
Yeah.
I'll give you the most strangest one, that the imam went and made first sijda.
Yeah.
And in that position, his wuzu broke. So everybody is in sijda.
Yeah.
So he gets up, he goes and chooses one person now, and he gets him to go onto the musalla. The brother goes onto that position and continues where the imam left off from.
Yes.
And completes the salat.
Yes.
Is that clear?
Very, very clear. Mufti Sahab, that's why I love this program. Yeah. One more question, Mufti Sahab. In the salah, say now a woman, I'm speaking again on behalf of the people in the house, yeah?
Yes.
If the woman is performing a salah, say Fijr salah for us,
si.
And the first occurs, she is with, say for example, Alam Tara, and in the second rakat she reads Alam Tara again.
Yeah.
Unintentionally, must she repeat it?
The salat is valid, but it is makruh.
Makruh.
We will, inshallah, I think after the taharat session, maybe this is the last taharat session, we are contemplating in a few weeks' time to come and discuss only salat maslas.
Jazakallah.
Thank you, brother. We have someone else on the line. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. I don't know, I'm a young friend.
Yes.
That's what do is I go to the toilet. And then you know, after my urine, some sticky fluid come out. Is it napak? Would I make the clothes napak or
Does it go on to your clothes after that?
Yeah, after the urine.
Well, then it will make your clothes napak. Then you must wash it.
It make napak?
Ji.
The sticky fluid?
Yes.
Well, I must wash it out?
Yes. You must wash it out, and if it falls on your cloth, then you wash the cloth. Only that portion of the cloth where that fluid fell.
Yeah. That's the ijar, you know ijar?
Yes, sure.
Yeah, which wear ijar must ijar.
Sure, no problem.
No, I must wash it out.
You wash it.
But come continuous over and then what?
Then before performing salat, change it.
Yeah. I must change it.
Ji.
Yeah, I do that, but the pak ijar also, you see, I come up with another thing. The sunnat, I can't read four asar sunnat and four isha sunnat.
Why?
On account of wuzu, I'm got trouble of wuzu.
Then you talk to your local alim, and I think you are mazur, you are incapacitated. Then he will tell you how to perform your wuzu, and you will be able to make your wuzu. Then with one wuzu, and you will make your sunnat, faraz, nafil, and all that. So you talk to your local alim, he'll explain to you in detail. But I think you are a person who is a mazur, an incapacitated person.
Thank you. If a couple has had intercourse and no impurities has touched the bed linen, is it necessary to remove the sheets? For everyone tells me that the perspiration of the body is impure. Please advise. Besides, if after having intercourse I wear my clothes, that is pants as well as dress, is all this clothes napak as well?
First of all, the perspiration, as explained in your case, is not impure. So it is not faraz wajib to change the bed linen. However, it is good. Then if no impurity has touched the clothing, one may wear the clothing again.
Okay, a Shafi lady says, after she's performed the ghusl of janabat, the sperm of her husband then comes out after plus minus 1 hour. Is her ghusl still valid?
the Shafi. A Shafi lady says, after she's performed her ghusl of janabat.
I understand the question, but from the Hanafi point of view, then that will break wuzu. Not, she does not have to make a ghusl again.
Okay, we will seek an answer from a Shafi alim in our next program. Before I continue with this, the second part, there's a brother on the line. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'd like to ask Mufti Sahib one question, please.
Sure.
Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahib.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Jazakallah for this program. We're learning a lot from it. Yes. Alhamdulillah. May Allah reward you people in abundance.
Jazakallah.
Mufti Sahib, regarding what you mentioned earlier on, that either the imam or the musalli, if the wuzu breaks, and people get up from the sijda for the next rakat, I can't push through or bump or run over people, because that is also not accepted, because I am disturbing the next person's salah. Must I continue with the jamaat, and thereafter the first opportunity I get, I make wudu and then continue with my salat, or what is the procedure there, please? Could you enlighten me?
Now, for example, if a musalli, as you say, a musalli is in the first saf, and his wuzu breaks. Now, remember that a precondition of salat is wuzu. Now, when the wuzu broke, and if this person continues with his salat, then he's committing an act of kufr. Because something now which is impermissible, he's making permissible.
Right.
Have I got it clear there?
Yeah.
For salat, he has to have wuzu. And now, because he started the salat with wuzu, in the procedure and performance of salat, his wuzu broke. Now he's continuing the salat without wuzu. He's doing a completely impermissible act, thinking that it is totally permissible. He's doing a haram action, fully intentionally thinking it is halal. See, a person consumes pork. Pork is haram. And a person willfully, intentionally consumes pork and says, no, it is halal. What's up of him? He goes out of the fold of Islam. Now a person is making salat, and he fully well knows that it is impermissible to make salat without wuzu. And he is continuing to make salat without wuzu, making the performance of the salat impermissible.
Maaf Mufti sir, Alhamdulillah, I'm quite with you. But now, in that case, must that person, either if they are in sijda, jump, obviously he's got to leave. Must he now jump over the people? Or if they are in a standing position, must he just bump them, go through, because the serfs might be quite close? Must he do that? Would that be accepted? Won't that person be obstructing the other musallis that are in salah?
Okay, I'll tell you.
And create, you know, sometimes they say, ke wo jahil che haro yaan, juhit ke namaz ma che ne, amuna upati kuji ne gyo chan, must you do that?
Now let me explain.
Ji.
The ulama have written a very small...
All right, maaf, Mushlab, can I go to the radio?
Yeah, sure.
Jazakum Allah khairan. Assalamu alaikum.
The brother asked that if a person, a musalli, he breaks wuzu, now, if he begins to leave the masjid, he may cause a disturbance, and others may say that he is an ignorant, what an ignorant fellow this is, and he is behaving unruly by jumping over them. The ulama have stated that, for example, a person, whilst in salat, his wuzu breaks, then he should take a hanky and place it over his nose, and once he does that and begins to leave the masjid, then the musallis will think in their minds that his nose is bleeding and will give way. As a result, he'll be able to come out of that masjid very quickly.
However, if he sits down there, then that also is permissible, and when the whole salat is over, then he can go and make wuzu and perform his salat as qaza. Especially when you are in the haram, and you in the on the first of Zilhajj in the haram, and you in the mataf area, and your wuzu breaks, you got no chance to come out. You just sit there and wait for the entire salat to be completed, then you go out and make your wuzu and complete your salat after that.
We have a brother that has been waiting.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Mufti Saab, I've got a question for you quickly.
Sure.
Mufti Saab, you know, I mean, now it's that it's winter time and things of that sort, you know, you sort of like tend to get lazy to read namaz and, you know, I mean, it's winter and things like that. I just want to ask you quickly, if you make only the first of wuzu, you know, like quickly, just to perform your namaz and things like that, is that permissible? And then you just, like Isha time, you read the first and just the three witr. Is that permissible?
We are very fortunate in South Africa, alhamdulillah, that we've got geysers and hot water.
Okay.
So there is no winter summer for us. And that it may be cold outside, but inshallah in the masajids and in the homes we have got hot.
Sorry, Maaf Maulana, can I listen to your
Yes, you can
listen
to
the
radio. In the masajids and at home we have got hot and cold water. So the winter weather should not make us make only the farais of wuzu. Yes, if you are in an extremely cold area and there's only ice cold water, then we will say, okay, make the farais of wuzu and then perform the salat. So as far as the wuzu is concerned, then we are fortunate in South Africa that we should make our complete wuzu, because we are blessed with hot water in our masajis, wudu khanas, and at home. Here there is another point too, that the Shariat wants us to make wuzu at home and go to the masajids. We should not make wuzu all the time in the wuzu khanas which are attached and linked to the masajids. Because when you make wuzu at home and go to the masjid to perform the salat, then you get sawab for one umrah. And for every step you take, you get sawab. One sin is removed and one sawab is received. So as emergency, we should utilize the wuzu facilities in the masjid. As far as shortening of the salat, no. The masajids these days have got heaters and underfelt and are very comfortable. So there is no question of only making your faraz and going away home. And shaitan, it is written in Mazayir-e-Haq, that shaitan, when he wants to destroy a person, then he makes the person leave out his nafil first, his mustahabat, then his sunnat al-ghair mu'aqidah, then his sunnat al-mu'aqidah, then his wajib, then his faraz, and eventually attacks his iman. So if we are going to, for petty reasons, leave out the wajib and the sunnat and the sunnat mu'aqidah and ghair mu'aqidah and mustahab, then unfortunately shaitan is having the better of us and will eventually destroy our iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us.
Jazakallah. Brother Rafiq.
Assalamu alaikum, Mufti.
Wa alaikum salam.
I've got a question that is not, it's related to something else. I want to make a hakika for my son.
Okay.
Mufti?
Yes, I'm listening.
I want to make a hakika for my son. My son's 13 years old, and I just want to know, he was born on a Saturday. Is it, and I've been told by somebody that it's got to be 7 days before that. Can you maybe just tell me, how do I go about this? Can it be any day that's convenient that I can make this hakika, or must it be a particular day?
He's 13 years already.
Gee.
Then, inshallah, on the next session, and kindly, I will give you a phone number, they will give you of my house phone number, you phone me, I'll explain to you in detail, inshallah.
Okay.
Jazakallah.
Ajla.
Thank you, Brother Rafi. I've got many questions here, and we're not entertaining any more questions through the phone. Thank you for calling all those listeners that have called. I would like to finish all the questions that I already have. What is the position of an appa who teaches and is in a position of hayz? Can she touch the Quran or recite the Quran?
The appa who is in the state of hayz cannot touch the Quran. And I explained last week that she should break the ayats up, the sentences of the Quran, so break them up into syllables and teach, so that she should break them into words. She should break the sentences into words and teach the words.
A working sister has a problem with a weak bladder and also a stool problem, and has a problem keeping park because there is no proper bathing facilities at work, and comes home and then performs qadha namaz. Is that proper?
Due to the circumstances that she is forced into, and due to the dire necessities which are making her go out and to work, because the woman should stay and confine themselves to the home, and only due to dire necessities and dire need go out, in these circumstances, that she should perform her salat in a state of purity upon returning home.
The previous question of the Shafi, we did get an answer from our Shafi specialist. Mufti, if you could just go through the answer that our Shafi specialist, the question, can I read the question again just to refresh listeners' minds? A Shafi lady says, after she's performed her ghusl of janabat, the sperm of her husband then comes out after plus minus an hour. Is her ghusl still valid? The Shafi answer, Mufti?
No. For Shafis, if the spouse's sperm does not come out after ghusl, it nullifies the ghusl, and ghusl has to be re-performed to obtain purity.
Okay, I didn't see that our specialist had forwarded the answer for me early on. Due to the fact that I suffer with a wind problem, this might seem silly, but continuously wind passes from my front private part. I am a female. Does my wudu break as this happens frequently during salah?
Your wudu breaks, as a result your salat breaks. If it happens so often, then you may be classified a mazur. Kindly phone and explain your masla to any of the wives of the ulama, and then they will give you the correct detailed ruling.
I am continuously either pregnant or breastfeeding during Ramadan. If I missed many years of rozas due to this fact, can I pay kafara with money, as it seems impossible to repay all those years of missed fast?
You should calculate how many fasts you missed and try to make qaza of those fasts. First, try to make the qaza. And if this is impossible, then contact some alim who will help you to calculate what you have to distribute by way of kafara.
After making ghusl, can one make wudu with no clothes on?
After ghusl, it will be permissible, not desirable, not good.
I'm confused here. If I made ghusl, I'm pak.
Yes.
Why would I want to make wudu again?
Some people are also unfortunately under the impression that when a person has made ghusl, then he's going to make salat after that. So they go and make a wudu. Meanwhile, they do not have to make this so-called precautionary wudu. They are already in a state of
purity,
total purity, to make salat or read Quran. So in this case, the person now, he wants to make one wuzu, in that condition and state, so it will be permissible but not good.
Can a person suffering from pains in their legs make massage over their socks when making wudu?
The socks will have to be of Shari requirements,
Mozas,
or Khufayn, and the person must learn the laws of Khufayn and learn the laws of Masal and Khufayn, passing of wet fingers over leather socks. So I do not know what the details of those questions, that question.
Okay, a brother, if after performing wudu you find your nose still starts bleeding suddenly, and if you find it bleeds and it bleeds persistently thereafter, even through namazes, what is then the position of the person's wudu?
Explained repeatedly in the program about people who got bleeding noses, urine drops, passing of air, that if you cannot make 4 rakat of salat in 4 minutes, then you'll be classified mazur. Wait for the last time of salah, perform your wuzu, perform the salah.
A female requests Mufti to answer this question, although it does not concern tahara. I have been on a journey in which I performed all my salah as kasar. We were about to leave when the adhan for Isha was given. Although we did not perform our Isha in that town, do we now perform a kasar salah at home or the full Isha salah?
You were on a journey and you performed kasar, and at the place where you were on journey, the Isha Salat was called, you returned home. Now when you returned home and it was Isha time, that means now you will have to make 4 rakats. And if that was made qaza, then you will make 4 rakats qaza.
Can I just put this a little bit more in perspective? Once you reach home, you lose your status as a musafi.
What?
Not because you're performing your full salah, not because you have heard the Isha salam.
Yes.
Adhan.
Yes. For example, a person, he is a musafir during Asr time, and he quickly, especially in summer, he's able to get back to his home before the expiry of Asr time. So in that locality where he was, where it was Asr, where it was more than 88.86 kilometers, then he was a musafir. Because of the azans of that area, does not make him now to make qaza of kasar. Yeah, he goes back home, there is still time for asar. He either makes he should make it, he must make it. And if due to some extreme case he did not make his asar, now he makes qaza but full. We will, inshallah, have one program only about musafir, all the laws concerning musafir, what he must do during Jummah, Eid, the nikah, the talaq maslas on musafir, the qurbani maslas and musafir, and the zakat maslas and musafir, the sadqatul fitr and musafir, and the musafir, the distance, and the etiquettes of musafir, the one on journey, and the various modes of travel, and how to perform your salats on the various modes. Inshallah, we should have one program on that.
Another lady's question. I went to the toilet, and as a woman usually do, I cleaned myself from inside by inserting my finger. I then noticed a spot of blood, but only began bleeding after 2 or 3 hours. When does my haid actually start?
You should look at your normal habit, as a normal habit generally comes on time. In this case, when the blood was noticed.
When the blood was noticed, not when the blood flowed.
Yes.
If a husband and wife slept in one bed naked, one of them had a wet dream now. How would one determine whose wet dream it was? How would one determine whose wet dream it was? And will both have to make ghusl?
in this case here, that the male should take ghusl, not the female.
But we don't know whose dream it was.
The medical practitioners tell us, Shariat informs us, that the fluids coming out of the male are apparent and they come out onto the bodies. And the females, generally, the fluid does not leave their private parts, it remains within.
Thank you, that makes it very clear. I am a lady that suffers from an, I'm trying to figure the handwriting out here, obsessive disorder. So whenever I make istinja or ghusl, I continuously use one jug of water after the other, as in my mind I fear that I am not clean. Where do I cut off after one or three washes? I am also paranoid about making the intention of ghusl. I'm a Hanafi lady. I continuously bath over and over and over again due to the fact that I seem to forget if I made the correct niyyah. Please advise.
First of all, you should fold any wife of any alim and take some counseling, because unfortunately the shaitan is taking advantage over your situation and making you a doubtful person. And cure for doubt is very difficult, but understand that in Shariat that doubt does not overpower or overrule or supersede certainty. So develop the quality of certainty and positiveness in you, and be sure that your ghusl is made, your wuzu is made. And the easiest simple remedy is that after utilizing one jug of water for istinja, be they male or female experiencing this difficulty and problem, after using only one jug, then classify yourself as clean, pure, in the state of paki, and get up and proceed with life. Similarly, in ghusl, do not repeatedly go through the procedure of ghusl. Once you have done it once, then terminate and do not make the second one. Otherwise, the second leads to the third and the fourth. Here, it's a psychological condition. It's a condition of the mind and the heart that I'm not pure, I'm not certain. And this is the wahab and the ploy and whisper of shaitan in the ears, saying that you are not clean, you are not pure. So a person must take control and have discipline and govern his life, make the istinja quickly, avoid doubt, stay away from uncertainty, bring certainty in the life, and perform the istinja or the ghusl with certainty and confidence once only. Classify yourself, confirm that you are clean. As long as you in your mind feel adequately safe that I am clean, and clean after performing of istinja using only one jug and performing ghusl only once, then you should do that and do not go for the second jug or for the second ghusl.
Shukran, Mufti. Is there anything in closing you would like to say, Mufti?
Yes. Alhamdulillah, we have now come to the end of our second part, and I would like to mention something about taharat. That there are three signs of the Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat, as recorded in the books of fiqh jurisprudence. Those signs of the Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat are Fazilat al-Shaykhain, number one,
حب طرفين number 2 and number 3 مسائل الخفين. مسائل الخفين has got to do with طهارت. That's why I mentioned it at the end of this program. فزيلة الشيخين, that we from the أهل السنة والجماعة regard with certainty and confidence that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu are the most superior amongst the Sahaba. First being Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, followed by Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hubbe tarafain, meaning that we from the Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat express our love and respect and honor for Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Masa al Khufayn, that we from the Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat regard the legality and validity of passing of wet fingers over leather socks. Now if we look around us, then the deviated sects and the deviated groups either do not believe in the superiority of Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhum, or do not love Hazrat Usman and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum, or do not regard the legality and validity of passing of wet fingers over leather socks. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand and practice deen. And to the listeners out there, the female listeners, if you have any questions, then you should contact the wives of the ulama, who will inshallah help you, or the radio station who will direct you which wife or which alim to phone, so that you can have your questions answered. Remember that constantly we should make effort to learn, and no matter how silly or stupid the question may sound or petty, we should ask and remove our state of ignorance and become educated.
Shukran Mufti. Last week we advertised that this program slot we were going to focus on halal and haram. Unfortunately our guest, due to the school holidays, had to turn us down. So that is why we opted for a Tahara part 2. We will continue with Tahara in about 8 weeks time. Next week inshallah, if our guests agree, we will be discussing gelatin and the status of gelatin by some experts on the panel, and we will take that from the halal haram point of view. So from me, I want to thank all the listeners who have phoned in and given us all their questions. Like Mufti said, if any of you still have any further questions, contact the radio station or an alim where you will get your answers. So don't sit there and ponder over it. Ask, and you can. Ignorance will be to stay in ignorance for two. While there are learned people who can answer it, is not allowed. From me, Farooq Hussain, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.